Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal podcast. This week, we're joined by policy analyst Anne Finnegan, deputy editor Jack Kennedy, and renewable specialist Stephen Robb. First up, we're going to discuss fertiliser with yourself, Anne. You write this week that half of global nitrogen exports are controlled by two powerful players. Who are they, and what does this mean for fertiliser pricing and availability into 2022?
Hi, Amy. Yeah, so this week I'm looking at, I suppose, the map of fertiliser production and exports in the world. And yes, China and Russia account for half of nitrogen exports globally. And I suppose, worryingly, they also account for almost half of phosphate exports globally. So really consolidated fertilizer market. When you look at nutrients produced, potash, we all know, is very consolidated anyway. The majority of potash is exported, but really reliant on Canada, Belarus, and Russia. And I suppose what's, you know, the dynamics of the market at the moment, we all know what's led to the increases in nitrogen prices around gas availability and gas price. But I suppose, so what's happened since then is a number of countries have brought in export restrictions. Russia have brought in export quotas that last for 6 months to the end of June. China have brought in their own export restrictions. Turkey and Belarus, I suppose, who are critical in terms of potash supplies, are the subject of economic sanctions by the West, primarily the USA and the European Union. And it looks set that those economic sanctions are going to ramp up. So the export availability, the typical export availability of fertilizer that we'd normally see in the market, is actually highly restricted at this point in time. And particularly from those two large players, China and Russia, who are so key in the nitrogen and phosphate market. So with limited supply, I think ultimately, and given what we see happening in the past week on gas prices, which Declan O'Brien has written about in news this week, further hikes in gas prices, it really only points to increasing fertiliser prices, or certainly no relief in fertiliser prices as we head into 22, which I think will be a huge disappointment to farmers who did have the expectation, as we all did, that gas prices were going to get some relief, possibly in the first quarter, if not the second quarter of 2022. But I think that's actually looking further out when we look at the nature of the restrictions that are at play in terms of the exportability of product in the world market at the moment. I suppose in terms of the EU, we are quite self-sufficient in fertilizer, but we do rely on nitrogen and potash imports into the European Union. We are deficit producers, and I suppose that deficit will be greater in nitrogen this year because we've had such curtailments across the EU.
Could this have any impact, I suppose, on global food supply, or like, will there be decreases in yields? What's the on the ground literally impact of that next year?
Yeah, I think we're we'll all wait the USDA's plantings report in the new year to see what global plantings are like. But I think, yes, I think the reality is we'll probably see lower plantings. We'll probably see switches between crops, so less nitrogen intensive crops. And I think there's reports of that already. And I think ultimately for the consumer, it is going to mean higher food prices. I think where that'll probably pinch for the consumer is, you know, come next summer when they start to see fruit and vegetable availability, because typically we talk about grains and we're talking about the livestock proteins, but obviously all the fruit and vegetables that we consume as consumers require fertilizer as well. And I think we're going to see lack of availability and increased price in that market, and it'll follow through across, I think, all of foodstuffs. I mean, I think one thing that is really interesting is that in tandem with the export quotas that Russia have introduced, they have also stabilized domestic prices for their own farmers, and they have stabilized them at the rates, I think, between, it can't be any higher than December and May of last year, and that holds through until the end of June this year. So grain farmers are at a real competitive advantage over European farmers. And obviously with export taxes, they have been managing their own market and managing their own supply of grain into Russia. But I think come next harvest, if the world harvest is down, Russia will become a very key player, I think, in grain as well. They may hold the stocks that provide relief to the world market. So, you know, it's quite a powerful position to be in terms of, I suppose, almost holding control of the nitrogen supply and price and potentially grain supplies come next harvest. So I think it's one to watch and one to see how it pans out. But certainly, unfortunately, no sign of relief on the cards for fertilizer prices.
Okay, thanks, Anne. Plenty to discuss there. And there's more on that in this week's paper. We're going to move on now. And Jack Kennedy, last week, Glanbia Co-op agreed to buy Glanbia Ireland, which will see it become 100% farmer-owned. What does this mean and what are the next steps involved in the process?
I mean, essentially, Amy, it means that the farmers now have full control of Glanbia Ireland. I mean, the background to this is that the PLC owned 40%. They did a deal with the co-op, I suppose, a couple of months ago. And then for the last couple of months, Glanbia Co-op have been trying to sell it to their shareholders that this is the right thing to do, that the farmers should take full control of Glanbia Ireland, 100% control. And that would allow them then to pass back whatever money they can get then in terms of when they sell their product on the global market, the cheeses or the butters or the powders, that they can sell back, they can send back the returns of that fully to the farmer shareholders, alongside running the business, that I call it, the other costs associated with that business. So look, it brings it back into the control of the farmers fully. Previously, again, there was a share of that going to the PLC in terms of a dividend. There was a share of it going to kind of retain profits in the business to grow the business. So all that is gone now, and it's a case of that, listen, if farmers supply milk or grain, that they can get a clear-cut return for that product. There was a lot of noise prior to the kind of, I suppose, the agreed to the vote last Friday, Amy, that, you know, that there was no commitments in it for farmers in terms of you know, no hard, fast commitments in terms of prices for milk or grain. But, you know, farmers have still voted in huge numbers, overwhelming support for it, over 80% on all resolutions, that the deal should go ahead. And that's the first step in the journey. I mean, Amy, you asked about the next steps. The next steps are is that the PLC have to have a vote on it. So they're going to have an EGM. Again, it's not just set just yet, but it will likely be kind of maybe end of January, early February. The PLC will have an EGM and they'll call for a vote on that same deal from their side of the house, and it'll get the, you know, there'll be a result out of that, and then it can proceed on to the next step, and they go through the whole due diligence process and go through the whole piece in terms of how it's going to fall out, and Glanbia Co-op have to start thinking, and Glanbia Ireland have to start thinking of a new name for their business, because that's going to stay with Glanbia PLC. So as far as the farmers are concerned, they're no longer going to be supplying Glanbia. It's going to be a new name, a new co-op. And at the moment, there is no name. And that'll happen over the next couple of weeks and months as well, Amy.
The Irish Farmers Journal has now reached our highest ever readership with 321,000 weekly print readers. Thank you for your support.
Okay, and finally this week, Stephen, farmers are actually going to be able to sell renewable electricity at a premium price back to the grid under this new microgeneration support scheme. Do we know how much farmers will be paid and when will this scheme actually get up and running?
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Look, really, really exciting news this week. At long last, we have details, real details of the microgeneration support scheme. It's supposed to be launched earlier on in the year, going to be delayed until the start of next year. But look, at least we know what we're dealing with now. So basically, there, as you say, farmers will be able to get paid for renewable electricity, which they export to the grid. Originally, this scheme was designed to, I suppose, promote as much self-consumption on the farm as possible, and you'd export the rest. We originally thought that was going to be limited to about 30%. So in other words, you could only export 30% of what you could produce. So if you like, that really capped the potential of this scheme. You would have to size your system based on your electricity usage. You know, okay, for a higher intensity farm, like a dairy farm or a pig farm or whatever, but maybe for a tillage farm with lots of roof space but low electricity usage, you know, the scheme would have been useless. Anyway, they have completely done a U-turn on this, and you will now be eligible to export 100% of what you produce, which is fantastic. There's a couple of different tiers to it. The first tier is the real kind of micro system. So anything kind of below 6 kilowatt in size, you'll be able to export all of that capacity, if you like, to the grid. You won't get a premium on that price. You'll just get the going market rate, but you will be eligible for grant aid under the new Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland grant, up to about €2,400 or so. So it will be useful. But then the kind of the real, the juicy bit as such is that the next tier, so it's between 6 kilowatt and 50 kilowatt in capacity or in size. So this is the larger kind of solar panels, but it could be wind or it could be micro CHP, but we'll just go with solar for now. So this would be a large solar system which you would put onto your rooftop or possibly even standalone, you know, in parts of the field or whatever. Basically, under this tier as such, you will be able to export 100% of what you produce. On the first 80% of that, you will get what's called a clean export premium tariff. So that is it's the premium as such, over and above wholesale electricity rates. It'll work out at around 0.135 cent per kilowatt hour, which it's higher than wholesale electricity prices, probably lower than domestic prices, but it's still higher than wholesale, which is really what we want to see. And you'll be able to lock into that for 15 years. So that really is a game changer in my eyes, because once you have that 15-year kind of contract as such, you know, you can begin to work on your business plan. You can formulate a business case. You know, you can take it to the bank, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, we think that's going to kick in later in 2022. Now, if you like, the government have designed this scheme to really get as much renewable electricity onto the system as possible in a short space of time. In fact, I think that they're planning around 380 megawatts worth of electricity across 70,000 buildings or so. That's what they want to get from the scheme. But how they're going to do that is they're going to close, they're pretty much going to stop the premiums for new entrants, if you like, into the scheme from 2028 onwards. So you really have from 2022 to 2028 to do this. But from 2024 onwards, the premium price starts to reduce by 0.01 cent per kilowatt hour, so really per year. So really, the earlier you're in this, the better. But of course, there's still a lot of work to do, and everyone listening will have to start thinking about this, because you obviously have to get a grid connection. There's different levels of grid connection, different tiers as such, depending on your size, and it all comes down to capacity as well. So there is a lot in this, Amy. But ultimately, it's really good news. Farmers are finally going to get in on this green electricity revolution that we're all hearing about.
Yeah, and I think it's like it's massive good news in that this is something that farmers have constantly said over the years, you know, that like they can put solar panels or a wind turbine up, but they can't, you know, what they generate is theirs and they can't do anything with it, and it's a renewable source. So it's definitely positive on that side of things. I suppose you said there from 2024, the premium is going to start reducing. So as you said, farmers are really going to need to, I suppose, get their act together if they really want to be involved in this and get moving on it, really, and the sooner the better, really.
Yeah, definitely. From 2024 onwards, the premium that larger systems are going to get paid will reduce gradually. You know, it is going to be a gradual reduction as such. But no matter what happens, and no matter what time frame as such, like the way it's structured now is that you'll always get at least the wholesale market rate on price. That's called the Clean Export Guarantee. Now that changed a little bit earlier on this year. And that was actually a game changer as well in itself, because as you said, Amy, we would have heard an awful lot from farmers who would have been exporting electricity to the grid anyway, but just getting nothing paid from it. That's, you know, that's no longer the case. So it's not. So I said that premium, you know, it's only available on 80% of what you export. But if you were exporting 100% of what you produce, then you'll get the market rate for the other 20%. But we have to remember that, you know, yet they have done a significant U-turn for the better on the volumes of electricity which you're permitted to export to the grid. But the whole idea of the scheme is still to produce electricity for self-consumption. So the idea is that, you know, you will be using as much electricity as you can yourself, you know, whether you are in high intensity or low intensity electricity farm, and exporting the rest. So look, it really is a whole new dimension to the farm now, to a farm enterprise, to have this option available. And look, it's great to finish off the year now.
Perfect. And there's more on that this week in this week's Farmers Journal. And this is one, Stephen, that you're definitely going to be continuing to write about as the scheme moves on and we see the terms and conditions in more detail. That's all for this week, folks. We'd like to wish you all a happy and safe Christmas. Next week, we'll have a New Year's Eve podcast on a review of the year, and we'll chat to you all in 2022.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.